Blog Talk Radio.
For those of you that think that gospel music has gone too far, you think we've gotten too radical with our message. Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory! Woo! You better put them hands together and act like you know up in here. Chief Pete!
Glory today. I am your host for MCI Radio Blog
Bishop Thurman A. Butler. Hey, man, Undisputed Truth Ministries. Hey, man, 1921 Darbytown Road in the heart of Henrico on the borderline of Richmond, Virginia. God bless you all tonight. I thank you for tuning in. Father God, we thank you for each and every listener on the line. We thank you for each and everyone that crossed this word. Father God, we thank you. Glory be to God that we understand it and put it out there that it ain't over. And I'm speaking to somebody's spirit. God's been speaking all day to let you know, hallelujah, it ain't over. And it's time for you to stomp the devil out of your life. Stop the problem under your foot. How about that? Stomp the situation into the next move that you're going with your God. To God be the glory. I want to talk to you today out of the book of Mark chapter 5. I'm going to draw your attention to my textual verse. Then we're going to kind of look back at see how he arrived at that verse. Amen. Glory be to God. Mark chapter 5, glory be to God. And verse 39 says, and when he was come in, he said unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, only sleeping. And I want to check the vital signs of everybody under the sound of my voice, because I want to let most of you know you are not dead, only sleeping. Good God Almighty. Only sleeping. I want to come from a part of a 911 call. Whenever there's a tragedy, whenever there's an accident, whenever there seems to be a situation that has put an individual down, when it's discovered, they call for the EMS. Someone places a call to 911. It's no joke. They come. And when the EMS get there, the very first thing they do is check your vitals. Yes, yes, they check your vitals. And do you know that checking your vitals will let them understand exactly what's going on the inside of the individual? And I want to check today your spiritual vital signs. Because all of us are sitting up in church, and if we were to check your vital signs, we would see, glory be to God, you're not dead, but you're sleeping. Have I seen you out of my sight? Well, what do you mean, Bishop? Well, let's talk about the vital signs. Glory to God. The first thing they're going to check is your pulse. Your pulse indicates the rhythm of your heartbeat. Your pulse represents, glory be to God, how much in pain that your heart is. Some of us are just out of rhythm, glory to God. Some of us making our way to church and still out of rhythm. You're listening to the word of God, but you're still out of rhythm. Good God Almighty, we're not picking up a strong pulse, meaning that you're dying and you're rapidly losing the life that's inside of you. Sitting in church. What did you mean out of rhythm? Out of rhythm with what? Yeah, out of rhythm with the Spirit of God. See? Because if a person don't have a pulse, the EMS has to find out why. Why don't you have a pulse? Why don't you have a strong rhythm? Why ain't you in sync with the Holy Ghost? So they have to check, glory to God, your oxygen level. They got to see if you're getting air. They're trying to see if you're breathing good. Good God. Well, first, I believe they check your temperature. The pulse even let them understand your temperature first. And some of us, glory to God, when you've got a fever, your temperature changes your blood pressure. Wait. You got your temperature, and your temperature is cold. See, normally when the temperature, when you catch a fever, your temperature go up. But your spiritual vitals, when your temperature ain't right, you get cold. Some of us as cold as ice. Or you've been in church, but you're so cold, glory to God. You're cold to anybody that speak to you, glory to God. You're cold to your neighbor. You're cold on your job. Good God Almighty, when it comes time to praise Him, you're cold and you're sitting there, glory be to God, and you don't heat up till the service is over. And by the time you just starting to warm up, good God Almighty, you done missed your blessing. So we got to check your temperature and let you understand you're not dead yet, but you're sleeping. After they check your temperature, they have to, hallelujah, see how much oxygen you're getting. Because if you don't get no oxygen, it's going to affect your blood pressure. If you don't get no oxygen, it's going to affect your temperature. If you don't get no oxygen, it's going to affect your blood pressure. So they got to check and see, they need oxygen. Are they breathing? Because once the breath goes, child of God, it's over. You can't live without the breath. You can't live without oxygen. You can't live without breathing. And somebody said, well, what is the spiritual oxygen? God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Glory be to God. Spirit is that Holy Spirit translated into the Greek to the Holy Ghost. So your spirit is a ghost. And the ghost means breath. And the air means breath. So if you ain't got no breath, no oxygen, you don't got no spirit. Some of us, you look like you're dead. Hallelujah. Because you have no spirit. Hallelujah. You have no spirit going through you. You have no spirit leading you. You have no spirit guiding you. You have no spirit motivating you. But I want to let you know today, you're not dead. You're only sleeping. But I want to encourage you today. It's time to wake up and stop, because it ain't over. There's a season of getting your vitals coordinated. There's a season that you're in perfect spiritual health. There's a season, and that season is right now. It's time for you to check your vital signs. You got to make sure, glory be to God, that you're in sync. Your heart is in rhythm with the Holy Spirit. You got to check and make sure that you ain't cold as ice and that you at the right temperature. You on fire for the living God. It's time to check, glory be to God, to make sure you're breathing well. Good God Almighty, it's time for you to be full of oxygen, full of life, full of spirit. Do you know what Jesus told the disciples? Let's go to the other side. He knew what he was coming up against. He was prepared for the battle. Are you prepared for what God is going to do in your life today? Are you prepared for what he's trying to do today? Are you prepared for the next door that he opened? Are you prepared when you get to the other side? You see, because when Jesus got to the other side, the first thing he met, Halaboshanda, was something to call out his authority. The first thing he met was something that the devil thought was too tough for him. And when you cross over to the other side, he's going to try and see how much life you got in you. He's going to stop and try you to see how much power you got inside of you. He's going to check you to see how much breath is inside of you. When Jesus got off of the boat on the other side, I came up across a man that cut himself in the tombs. And the Bible says no man could bind him. Good God Almighty, not with chains and not with tethers. Let me let you understand, the devil think he can't be bound. The devil think he can't be loosed. And the devil think, glory be to God, that he can't be overtaken. But you can overtake him. You're not dead. You're only sleeping. And it's time to wake up and take authority. When Jesus walked, he came to Jesus. Glory be to God. In that fifth chapter of Mark, that demon came and he bowed at Jesus' feet. Good God Almighty. Your problems will bow to you today, child of God. Champion, your situation will bow to you, glory to God. Whatever you're going through, it will bow to you, glory to God. When your vitals are on point, good God Almighty, when they're in sync, good God Almighty, and glory be to God, you're operating as God called you to operate. Things will begin to fall at your feet. That demon fell at the feet of Jesus. He said, why are you tormenting me before my time? Good God Almighty. Jesus said, hold your peace. What's your name? And I'm not getting into the theology side of this, good God Almighty, or the deliverance side of this. I'm going to tell you, if you walk in power, you don't got to worry about what the name is. You don't got to worry about where it came from. You don't got to send it back nowhere, because it's going to flee from you. When your vitals are intact, you don't even got to conversate with situations. He bowed down and began to plead and beg Jesus. Please don't deal with me. Let me go into the herd of swine. Because he had no place of connection. But that's not you today, child of God. You're only sleeping. Check your vitals today, because you will see, glory be to God, that after he dealt with that demon called Legion, the Galilean, as he began to walk, he knew what he had to do. And here come a child of God that bowed at his feet. I want to let you know today, you're a child of God, and if you would wake up and bow at his feet and worship, good God Almighty, you don't got to beg like the Galilean. You don't got to beg like Legion. You don't got to plead, because God knows where he wants to send you, and he knows what he wants to do. All you got to do is get to the feet of Jesus while he's moving. Come on, somebody. I said, while he's moving. See, when Jesus starts moving, you got to get at his feet. When Jesus starts moving, you got to get in a hurry. When Jesus starts moving, you can't take your time. And the reason why you can't take your time, because others are going to be calling. Others are going to be coming. And the next thing you know, it's going to be a press. There was a man named Jairus. And Jairus ran and he bowed to the feet of Jesus. Only thing, he didn't have to beg. Glory to God. When he bowed at the feet of Jesus, good God Almighty, he petitioned Jesus. He told him all about it. And if you would just tell Jesus all about it, he'll fix it. Come on. The Bible declares in verse 25 and verse 24 that much people followed him, good God Almighty, and they thronged him. Glory to God. But Jairus that came to him and fell at his feet and told him that, glory be to God, could you please come and lay your hands on my daughter? He cried with a loud voice. He said, please, my daughter is sick to the point of death. Can you come and lay your hands on her? Let me tell you something. Anything that Jesus touched will have life. If you can get a touch from the Lord today, you hear me, champion? You hear me, child of God? You hear me, NCI listener? You're not dead. All you need is a touch. You need a good touch. You need a real touch. You need a touch that'll make you yield. You need a touch that'll make you cry. You need a touch that that'll make you submit. You need a touch that'll make you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. You need a real touch. He said, well, could you please just come touch my daughter? She's at the point of death. Some of us think we waited too late. I'm going to tell you, it's not too late. It's not over. It's nowhere near over. Your vitals are just out of whack. Your vital signs are not synced. You've lost your passion. Your temperature has gone whack. How about Sia? Your heart is not yearning and churning properly. It's out of rhythm with the will of God for your life. And you're not getting any oxygen staying out of church. You're not getting any oxygen, any breath, any spirit, not reading your Bible. Hallelujah. You're not getting any breath, child of God. And I'm looking at your vitals, and you're laying there, and people are looking and say, it's over. He's dead. She's dead. You might as well bury her. It's over. But I want to let you know today, you're not dead. Only sleeping. So when Jairus asked Jesus to come, the anointing to restore fell on Jesus. The anointing to bring life stirred up within him. And all he had to do was touch. And he was on his way. Good God Almighty. He was on his way. And they flogged him. That means everybody wanted a touch of that anointing. Do you want to touch today, child of God? Well, you got to get in the press. All you do is get in the press. Somebody recognize, listen, if I get in the press, I'll get a touch. So as they grabbed him, glory to God, a certain woman which had an issue. Is there anybody listening to me that got an issue? Come on, I'm talking to the real people right now, because we all got issues. Come on, we try to act like we don't have issues, but everybody got some issue or another. Come on, somebody. I want the champions to talk to me today. How many of us got an issue? How about Sata? Do you really know that Jesus will deal with your issue if you get in the press? The press was thick. They thronged him. That mean, glory to God, they was all around him. And she had an issue. Bring your issue in the press. Take your issue in the press. You don't got to hide your issue. You don't got to fake that you ain't got no issues. You don't got to step in the building and act like you're so perfect, because you'll never get your issue touched. Because you're trying to hide your issue will keep you out of the press. It'll keep you away from the altar. And I want to throw this in while I'm right there. I'm going to park the car for a second. We need to get back to the altar. Come on, somebody. The altar is a bad word to think to God lately. The altar is some place that we shun lately. The altar is a place that we act like nobody never going to see me go to the altar. Because we're so busy looking good in front of people. And we don't know the altar is not only for when you did something wrong, but the altar is when you're ready to receive from God. So because the enemy make us think you only go to the altar to repent. How about Sia? You only go to the altar to confess your sins. Nobody want to be seen getting up out of their seat, walking down the aisle to the altar, because they don't want nobody to think they need prayer. Come on, I'm trying to talk to somebody. You're not dead. You're just sleeping. I'm trying to wake somebody up. Because glory be to God, you could be on fire for God and still go to the altar. Because you could be going to get more. You could be going to go higher. You could be going for a gift to be released in you. Don't let nobody make you think bringing an issue to God or going to the altar of God is a bad thing. Hallelujah. He was moving in power, moving in the anointing of God. Good God Almighty, people came from everywhere. But this certain woman had an issue. Her issue was an issue of blood. She went to every physician around. She had spun all that she had. And the Bible declares that she got worse and worse and worse. Good God Almighty, but when she seen Jesus and the anointing that was on him and the life that was in him and the power that comes with a touch, she said, if I but just touch to him. Good God Almighty. She didn't know how much power was in him, but she said, I don't even need to grab him and squeeze the anointing out of the robe. I don't even need to grab his sweat and let it drench on me. If I can but even touch the hem of his garment. How many, do you have enough faith to understand? A little touch. The faith, the grain of a mustard seed touch will take care of your issue. But could you imagine getting more than that? She said, oh, if I just touch the hem. She didn't know that was the most powerful part of the garment because the anointing runs down, all the way down to Chataboshia, and all the way down to the hem. She didn't know that was the most powerful part, hallelujah, of the garment. But her thing was just a touch. Do you want to touch today, or do you want to hide your issue? Do you want to act as though you have no issues? Do you want to stay out of the press? That's going to make your vitals go out of whack. He that believeth on me, I'm sorry, I'm taking the woman of God's scripture now. As the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And if you would just get in the press, the life that's flowing through him will flow through you. But if you stay out, child of God, if you already got all you need, you already received all that you wanted, then praise God, I pray God that you can make the journey. Because it's great, it's long, it's far, it's not given to the swift nor to the strong. But they that endure it unto the end. And a certain woman said, if I but touch the hem, I will be made whole. Word of God says she got in the press. She touched the hem. And verse 29 says, straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed from that plague. Well, Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned in the press and said, touched me. You know how he knew? Because virtue went out. Y'all got to catch this champion. I said when she touched him, virtue went out. Do you know that virtue is a strength beyond normal? Virtue is just not power. Virtue, glory be to God, is a super exceeded power. It's a power from deep within. Y'all ain't talking to me. Hallelujah to God. Virtue, glory be to God, is the inward source of power. And she touched the inward source, y'all don't hear me, of the power of God. Some of us have touched him, but you ain't touched the virtue. You might have been under the anointing, but you didn't touch the bird, y'all. Don't hear me, champion. You may have been dancing and shouting and singing in church, but you have not touched the inner strength of Jesus. Woo! Glory to God. The strength that line your vitals up. The strength that gets you walking right. The strength that gets you talking right. The strength that gives you victory over your enemies. Victory over your situations. So because you didn't get no virtue, you're laying down. You're quitting. People calling you out, calling you dead, saying it's over. And I'm going to let you know today, you're not dead. You're only sleeping. He said, virtue went out of me, meaning it's the way he touched him. How are you touching Jesus today? Are you always running to him for mercy? Are you always running to him for forgiveness? That he's there for all those things. It's fine. How about Shia? Are you always there explaining, well, I'm only human? Or are you touching him, glory be to God, for a spiritual transfer? Are you touching him for your gifts to be released? Are you touching him, glory to God, so the ministering angels can show you revelation into the word of God? Are you touching him to the point? The power of God is infused inside of your body. How are you touching him? Don't you know when they dropped him? I mean, people was all over him. Everybody was touching him. So it wasn't the touch. It's the way he touched him. Dropped me, people was all over him. The disciples said, what do you mean all these people grabbing all over you? What do you mean who touched you? He said, no, somebody touched me by faith. Somebody touched me different. Somebody, y'all don't hear me. You got to hear this today. You're not dead. You're only sleeping. You just got to touch him differently than how you've been touching him. Well, it didn't distract him. Do you know God blessing other people is not going to distract him from blessing you? Child of God, you don't have to worry. What God has for you is for you. Good God Almighty. And he'll bless others along the way while coming to bless you. He hadn't forgot about the girl dying. He hadn't forgot about Jairus' daughter. But he was walking under the anointing, and somebody caught that. Good God Almighty. And good God Almighty, when your vitals are sharp, when everything is working right, you can go in the hallelujah, be in the mall, and you'll see God moving, and you can tap right into the move. Y'all don't hear me. Hallelujah. You can go on your job. You can see something happen. You can tap right in to the move. You can go to church, glory to God, and see something happening in the spirit and tap right into it. When your vitals are in sync and you in the press. So while he was going to bless Jairus' daughter, glory to God, he blessed someone else along the way. And the Bible declares, he says, somebody touched me differently. And the woman, she said, the Bible says, and he looking around to see her that had done this, the woman fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Good God Almighty, if you know what Jesus done for you, you'll tell it. Hallelujah. Good God Almighty. She said, as she told the truth. Yeah, most of us that want to get a touch, we don't want to tell what Jesus had to do for us. We want to tell what Jesus can do for you. Oh, Jesus can do this for you. Jesus can do that for you. Jesus can do that for them. Yeah, but you never tell what Jesus done for you, because you don't want to seem like you got issues. We all had issues, got issues, are going to face issues. I want to let you know, champion, today, you may not be able to preach the whole Bible. Hallelujah. Oh, but you can tell what he done for you. Do I got a witness out there? You might mess up quoting the scripture. You might mess up, glory to God, talking about the divinity of Christ. You might mess up talking about theology. You might mess up, y'all ain't talking to me today, talking about the Tritium doctrine of Christ. But you will never mess up telling somebody what he done for you. Yeah. Somebody said, you can't tell it like I tell it. What he done for me. See, you know what he done for you. You know how he brought you out. Good God Almighty, you know how he helped you along the way. You know how he opened up doors for you. You may not be able to preach the Bible, good God Almighty, but you can tell somebody, I know him like that. Good God Almighty, I've been touched like that. Good God Almighty, because he took care of my issues. Most of us want to go to school and graduate. Then we want to burn the school down so nobody else can go through it. But we done took the same classes that the people coming in now took. Uh-huh. We done passed them with flying colors, got the T-shirt, hat, and boots. But now you want to shut the school down like ain't nobody else got to grow in grace. Ain't nobody else got to grow in knowledge. But look how long it took you to get delivered. Look how long it took you to get set free. Look at all the issues you had when you came. But now we want to tell everybody else, glory be to God, as though we came with no issues. It's time to stomp the devil. And at the end, the people you think is dead is only sleeping. And they're waiting for us to come through. They're waiting for you to come through. They're waiting for you to come, glory be to God, in the spirit of power and deal with the situations before you. We're another half. We're another half of the broadcast. And we're working our way to verse 39. Glory be to God. Let me draw your attention to 34. While they were dealing with the woman that got healed along the way, Jesus turned to her and said, daughter, thy faith has made you whole. Go your way, good God Almighty. And he began to handle the situation before him. But the Bible declares, while he spoke to her, there came a ruler of the synagogue from Jairus' house, and they said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Good God Almighty. Somebody think you're dead? Somebody think you had too many opportunities? Some people think that you backslid too many times. Some people think that you've been caught up in the situation way too long. Some people think you're too weak to break the chains that bind you. And they said, why trouble Jesus any further? Kabasha, I want to let you know there's no trouble for him. It's no trouble to call him. You have to call him. He's the only one that can save you. He's the only one that can deliver you. He's the only one that can set you free. He's the only one that can get your vital signs and your organs back operating the way that he called them to operate. It's not too late to call him. Somebody said, why are you even going to church anymore? You're living the same way before you ever win. You don't even need to go. Tell them the devil is a liar. Tell them you're just sleeping. Tell them you're another. Tell them you're not dead. I'm only going through a season. I'm only in a place right here. This is not the whole book. This is not even a chapter. This is just a page. Somebody got to tell yourself today, champion. I'm ready to wake up. I'm only sleeping, but I'm ready to wake up. good God, and they're ready to wake up asleep and dying in you. Good God Almighty, when you wake up and come up out of your situation, when you wake up and come out of your circumstance, when you wake up and decide to fall in love with Jesus for real, when you wake up and decide to follow Jesus for real, when you wake up and say, I'm going to lay down my life, and I'm going to take up my cross and follow him, when you wake up and follow Jesus, you're going to wake up and see your vital signs is in sync. They said, why bother him? Why are you even worried? He's dead. It's over. There's no hope. God going to kill her. That's the news. That's the saints of God. That's the new preaching of the saints now. Now all of a sudden they're telling everybody God going to kill people. Oh, God, sick and tired of them. God going to kill them. God going to take them. I don't know where they get that teaching from. I ain't never knew God to do that. Not my God. Uh-huh. God, you may kill yourself. Uh-huh. You may sleep too long. Uh-huh. How about Satan? But I ain't never knew my God to kill nobody for sleeping. I ain't never knew my God to kill somebody because they weak to something. My God don't kill people because they backslide. That's over. That's the Old Testament. Uh-huh. You might get in more trouble because it's New Testament now, and he give you all the help you need. There's no need to fall away. So you might be in more trouble, but he ain't killing you now for that. Some men's sins are beforehand, the Bible declares. Some after the judgment. Glory to God. But as right now in this relationship, the devil come to steal, kill, and destroy. My Bible says, but I am come that you may have life, not that you might have death. He said, but I am come that you might have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Somebody tell you that you dead already and the life, the little life you got left, God coming to take it from you. You tell them they're a liar and let them be accursed. God is not weary of working with you. God is not tired that you keep calling him. The Bible declares that God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come unto repentance. So he ain't killing you because you haven't fully came yet. You're not dead, only sleeping. Amen, champion. The Bible says, glory to God, as he yet spoke that the ruler came and told him, why trouble the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard those words that were spoken, he said unto the ruler, the Son of God, be not afraid. You have to stop listening to the wrong thing. You have to stop listening to the devil. Whose report do you believe? The Bible says we shall believe the report of the Lord. If you hear the wrong thing, you'll believe the wrong thing. And I'm going to park right here in this last 15 minutes and tell somebody, faith cometh by hearing. And whatever you hear, you're going to get faith in. Because the Bible declares, faith cometh. Faith arrives, faith derives from hearing. But the Bible didn't stop there. It says, and hearing comes. Meaning that everything you hearing may not be faith, because faith comes by hearing, but hearing comes. And meaning that the only way it's going to generate faith, it's got to be something worth hearing or something that is truly hearing. It's not saying whatever you hear. Yes, faith comes by hearing. Faith in whatever you hear is going to come. The hearing is the word of God. So if you're not hearing the word of God, you're not hearing. You're going to have faith in something else. When they said, listen, she dead. Ain't even going to need to bother Jesus no more. Let him go to other. He said, oh, be not afraid. Fears of the devil. The Bible says, for fear has torment. He said, only believe. Meaning that no matter what the situation is, all you got to do is believe God. Are you believing God today? Are you looking at the report of man today? Are you looking at your circumstance today? Are you looking at the situation today? Are you looking at the, what's manifesting in the flesh today? Or are you believing God? It's time to believe God. No matter what you see, no matter how they're acting, no matter where they're going, no matter what they're saying, you have to believe God. He said, be not afraid. Only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Meaning that when God is ready to move, number one, it don't always got to be a crowd. And number two, if it's unbelievers, you don't need to be walking with them while you're trying to raise something from the dead. Certain anointings in God, habasia, only operate by faith. And when you have people of unbelief with you, it's a different spirit drawing the power. So what do you look like walking in faith with somebody walking in unbelief? What do you look like speaking the word of God and somebody sowing doubt? What would it look like you laying hands and they praying against it? Hallelujah. There was a whole crowd of people. Jesus told the rest of the disciples, stop them. Don't let nobody else follow me. Come on, Peter. Come on, James. Come on, John. Some people he know gonna believe God. Somebody always want a crowd. You always want a crowd. You always want somebody saying amen. You always want somebody cheering you on. I'm gonna park here and share this revelation with you real quick. Jesus had a ministry for the multitude when he fed 4,000 and 5,000. But after that, he had disciples that couldn't understand the teaching, and it was 72. But it was a different relationship with the 72. You had the multitude, you had 72. But when he started talking about communion and eating his flesh and drinking his blood, many of them left and followed him no more. He was back down to the 12 that he handpicked. So I want to talk to somebody today. And he had a multitude, the public, how he dealt with the people. Then he had 72, he dealt with them a certain way. But then he had 12 special ones that he handpicked, that he took over to Caesarea Philippi. He took them in secret places and he sent them out two by two. He blew breath on them, said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. But even out of that 12, he had a smaller circle that you see him operating in now, Peter, James, and John. Hallelujah. It was a different mission. It was a different work. How about Sunday? It was time to get serious with the enemy. It was time to stop the devil. It was time to see a power move of God. And then that went from a multitude down to three, Peter, James, and John. And I'm trying to tell somebody that you got too many people around you to see the real power of God. You got too many people around you, hallelujah, for him to take you to that next level he wants to. You got too many people talking in your ear, laughing in your face, grinning and stunning, and blocking your way. You better narrow your circle down to three. And then out of that three, he took to the garden. He took on task like this. And even they didn't understand when he said, pray for me an hour. But in this situation here, they were ready for this. He took Peter, James, and John. He wouldn't let nobody else go. He said, we got some work to do, fellas. Glory to God. And when he took them there with him, Peter, James, and John, he come to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, verse 38, and he sees the torment of them that wept and wailed greatly. Don't you know the devil will cause a manifestation that if you don't know that you know what God is going to do, the atmosphere will overtake you. Next thing you know, you'll be panting on the back, oh, it's going to be all right. We go sometimes to home-going services, and God want to save souls. And we go there almost crying just as much as the people that morning. He went there, everybody was crying. Everybody told me, this poor girl, 12 years old, dead, 14 years old, dead. But he walked in power. You got to stay focused, child of God, in times like these, champions. This is the time where you put your spiritual boots on and stomp. Hallelujah. This is the time you say, it ain't over. This is the time you let God manifest. Let God arise. And his enemies be scattered. Death is an enemy. Pain is an enemy. Come on here. Torment is an enemy. Come on. Somebody bound is an enemy. Good God Almighty, when you start recognizing who the real enemy is, good God Almighty, you be ready to deal with them. Come on. Your neighbor is not your enemy. The person in your church is not your enemy. Your wife is not your enemy. Your husband is not your enemy. You have to know who the real enemy is. He said, let God arise. And his enemies be scattered. Amen, somebody. He walked into the room. This is where we get our text verse from. When he came into the room, he said unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, only sleeping. You got to know that you're just in a different state. Death is a state you won't come back from. Death is a state where you can't come back from. Death is a state where it's over for you. Hallelujah. But I've come to tell somebody it ain't over until God says it's over. As long as you got a pulse spiritually, long as you breathing spiritually, Lord, good God Almighty, you got some type of temperature spiritually. Good God Almighty, you're not dead. You're only sleeping. Good God Almighty, and they're ready to wake up something in you. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Where you'll never sleep again. He said the child is only sleeping. And they laughed at him. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them out, see, they laughed. They couldn't believe it. He said, put them out because of the unbelief. They laughed him to scorn, but then when he put them out, glory to God, he take the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entered in where the damsel was laying. It's some close enough to that's going to believe God for you. There's nothing wrong with getting a couple witnesses, a couple prayer partners that's going to believe God with you. He grabbed the child's mother and father. Know why? Because he had something inside of them yearning for life to come. Good God Almighty, you got to know what to connect with. You got to know what God will use, hallelujah, to infuse. Good God Almighty, he grabbed the mother and he grabbed the father. And he grabbed Peter, James, and John. He went into the room where the girl was laying. He took the damsel by the head. And he said unto her, Tabitha Kananka. He didn't beg. He didn't plead. He spoke with power. He says, Tabitha Kananka, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto you, oh God Almighty, you got to speak to that thing that's holding you down. You got to speak to that thing that got you sleeping. You got to speak to that thing that got you bound. You got to speak. God, I mean it when you say it. It's a Tamitha Kunai, which is interpreted, damsel, I say unto you, hallelujah, arise. You got to command the devil to leave you alone. You got to command your life to change. You got to command yourself to line up with the word. Good God Almighty, you can't play with yourself. You can't play with the devil. You can't play with people. You got to command yourself to rise and get up. And your vital signs will line up. The Bible declares that straightway the damsel arose. So she was at the age of 12 years old. They were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it. Watch this. He commanded that something should be given her to eat. Child of God, I'm closing on that note. When you wake up, you're going to wake up with an appetite, a new appetite. Hallelujah. When you wake up, you get something good to eat. You come on MCI Blog Talk Radio. You come on Sunday mornings. You come on Mondays with Matthew McNeil. You come on Tuesday with Bishop Thurman Butler. We got the weekly word workout starting the first Wednesday of next month. You come and get something good to eat with Lady T of the Spirit of Truth. It's all coming. You have to get something to eat. And you got to continue with a different appetite so that you don't die, so that your vitals don't get out of whack again. He said, give her something to eat. And I'm just so grateful today that you came to get in the word. Because if you get in the word, you'll find that it's undisputed. And I'm Bishop Thurman A. Butler, Undisputed Truth Ministries. And I look forward to you arising. I look forward to correspondence. I look forward to emails. I look forward to seeds being sown into MCI Radio. I look forward to seeds being sown into Undisputed Truth Ministries. You can't beat God giving. Some of you are getting nourished real well. Don't rob God. He'll give you more. For where man's heart is, there will his treasures be also. If you want to know if the word is getting through to you, see if you're putting any of your treasures where the word is being sown in your heart. The labors are worthy of their reward. I don't take much time and never do this much. But God is going to bless you, for this is very, very fertile ground. God is doing awesome things with these two ministries. He's doing some awesome things through the Blog Talk Radio. And I just encourage you, if you want to sow today, so, amen, on Cash App, $, Bishop, B-E-E, like the bumblebee, Bishop B, 4-2. So, it's not always about giving. Glory to God. Send a prayer request. Send a thank you and appreciation correspondent. You have questions. Send them. Because if it's in the word, it is undisputed. And we want to be in your corner to make you a WWF, a weekly word workout champion, Undisputed Truth Ministries, where we make champions in Christ. God bless you. See you next week. Bring your stuff to work out with. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. And remember, it ain't over. It ain't over.